Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We do appreciate you listening in to the radio broadcast today. We have a guest with us today, and we're looking forward to that. So we're just come into the studio and trying to get all the mics situated and where they need to be. So we're getting set up here. But once again, it is good to be here. And let me just take a moment to mention that this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we are located just outside of Boone, North Carolina, on Baird's Creek Road. You take Highway 105 South, just a couple of miles outside the Boone city limits, and take a right on Baird's Creek Road, and we are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. And we have Sunday school Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for all ages, and our Sunday morning worship service at 11. We have a church website that has all of our information on it. It is called MountLebanonBC.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org. So we wanted to mention that before we get started today. And also, I want to mention the starting spring semester of the Victory Bible Institute. Now, for residents, that starts this coming Thursday night, January the 8th. And but there's still time to get in for correspondence, for satellite schools, internet. There's all kinds of ways to be involved in the Victory Bible Institute. And I wanted to give a phone number if you are interested in signing up for the spring semester. And the wonderful thing about the Victory Bible Institute, it's a three-year program. You can get your BA degree in 3 years, but you do not have to start at the beginning. You can jump in anywhere along the semester of studies, just so you start in a new semester. And then in 3 years, you'll be done. In that spring, you can graduate. But if you are interested, you can call Dr. Jerry Honeycutt. His number is 423-772-3848. And that is, once again, 423-772-3848. And you can also go to vbcministries.org. And so if you are interested, it's not too late. And we have new people come on every semester. So we're looking forward to that. And we'll be starting this coming Wednesday night. But I want to introduce our special guest today. Now, we've been doing a series on Heroes of Liberty. We're going to take just a little break this week because we have a special guest. And his name is Brother Dewey Whitfield. And Brother Whitfield is a missionary. He is involved with a ministry, or his ministry is called U.S. Spanish Ministries. And Brother Whitfield was at the church with us a couple of Sunday nights ago, preached for us, told about his ministry, and we're glad to have him today. Brother Whitfield, thank you for being with us, and good to have you.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I appreciate the time.
I want you to just take a few minutes to begin with and just sort of tell us a little bit about yourself and your ministry, what you're involved in, just however you want to get started there. But I thought it was very interesting when you came to the church, and there is just anywhere you go in America, there is a increasing Spanish population, and God's touched your heart to reach out to that segment. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, sir. We're out of the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Hickory, North Carolina. Our pastor, Scott Hooks, and God has laid it on our hearts, our family, have been called by God to reach the Spanish-speaking folks by way of helping the local church reach their Spanish population. We just finished 5 years in central Pennsylvania, starting a Spanish work there, and God is blessed. And now we are here taking a bit of a furlough and praying for God's will as far as where he would send us next. We have a website. It's www.usspanishministries.com that tell you a little bit more about us and our family. And then you can also find us on Facebook at U.S. Spanish Ministries, as well as Twitter at Whitfield NC or U.S. Spanish Men's. And then you can also reach us by way of website. We have an address for mailing and things of that nature. But our country has somewhat been invaded, if you will, by the Spanish-speaking population. Statistically, we're the second largest Spanish-speaking country in the world. And so that gives us a great duty as Bible-believing Christians to reach, beginning in our neck of the woods, if you will, our Jerusalem. And a lot of times these folks are overlooked. When you look at our country as a whole, we have 53 million registered Hispanics, and there are over 54 million illegal immigrants here in the U.S. And as I mentioned earlier to our pastor as we were speaking before the program, that kind of runs neck and neck with the number of abortions here in our country. I don't find that a coincidence. I find the fact that we are reaping what we've sown.
Right. You had it amazes me that that would make America the second largest Spanish-speaking country. I mean, that's a lot of people that are here. And I want to say to begin with, and no matter what somebody feels politically about it, because I know that's a hot potato amnesty, and I know everybody has their own feelings about it, and you know, I would be honest, I probably don't know enough about it to talk intelligently about it. You know, you get talking about things you really don't know about, and it makes you look foolish. So I want to try to talk about what I know about. And this is one thing I know. And what interested me, you know, we talk in churches about missions and going here, going across the ocean. But literally, we have a mission field come to our doorstep. And I was looking at your website, and it said something. It was talking about the Spanish people. And what we're saying today is in no way derogatory towards them.
No.
But it makes me think of what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It said, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." And you said on your website, I read a sentence on there, and it said these people are looking for a better life. And you know, I think of the spiritual aspect of this is a mission field come to our doorstep. And then we think about liberty all the time on the radio broadcast, and you know, you can't blame somebody for wanting to come to America. So there's no, you know, they're looking for a better life, and you can't blame anybody for that.
No, not at all. And you think about how media pushes things here in the States. Well, it's also pushed in other countries the American life. And so they look at and watch TV via satellite, whatever, internet. They see life in America as a better life. And they come here, and our duty is to show them a better life through the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about it, our theme, our motto, the thing that has really burdened our hearts is to bring the faces into focus. And the thought behind that is they don't necessarily impact our lives on a daily basis. So we may go to Walmart, or we may go to a grocery store, a restaurant, and they may pass us by. But not necessarily have we thought about the aspect of reaching them, nor have we yielded to the Spirit of God from the aspect of the fact that they need the gospel. And so they really don't impact us because we're not focused on them.
Right.
And so as we realize the great need then and submit to the Spirit of God's leading, we can bring their faces into focus by getting the gospel to them.
Right. That's something that's real easy to do. You see somebody, and if you cannot communicate with them, the language barrier, it's hard just to, I mean, it's easy to just pass them by, just like what you said. How did it come about in your life to try to reach the Spanish? You know, how did that burden come about? What led you in that direction? I know it was the Lord, but...
Yes. And the Lord brought me through a different path in life that he may bring others through as well, but it just shows that yielding to the Spirit of God, God can do anything with our lives. For instance, I was an executive in the automotive industry, and through that I had to travel to different parts of the world, one of those being the country of Mexico. In that, I began to understand that as I was maybe having to miss a service in our home church or something of that nature to be in a different country for work purposes. The Spirit of God also churned my heart during that time that these folks have no concern about being in church. And so through that process, God burdened my heart for them. And eventually, my company sent me there for language school. And so 2 hours south of Mexico City, I went to language school in Cuernavaca, Mexico. And that was in 2003. Upon returning from Mexico, God laid it on my heart to start a Spanish work there in Hickory, North Carolina. So we began that work in the fall. And the Lord's blessed it now, and we have a Spanish man that's directing that, and it's a wonderful thing. But that's how God led us to reaching these
right.
people.
Well, that's amazing, because you said you'd been to language school. Mm-hmm. Well, I just figured, well, he's a missionary, and he went to language school, but your work sent you to language school.
Yes, sir.
That's the Lord, isn't it?
And it's obvious, because it's in complete reverse to what we plan today. You know, normally we see people called to a people, but here we were called to a language before God ever burdened us for a people to reach them in a full-time capacity.
Right.
And so it's an amazing fact that when you just submit to the Spirit of God's leading, just from the concern of reaching people, that there is no end to it. And you look at our Lord when he called out, I believe, where the church started with the disciples, when he called them out, that was their aspect. The promotion, the push there was reaching people. I will make you fishers of men.
Right.
So when you look at it, that's our duty. Everyone, saved individuals, born again, bought by the blood of Christ, our sins paid for on the cross. Those people, not religious people, we understand there's a difference between being saved and being religious. We understand that. But when we have a burden for people as our Lord, you know, you ask people, who would you want to be like Jesus? Everybody wants to be like Jesus. All right, so Jesus came to what? To seek and to save that which were lost. He didn't come to condemn, because they're condemned already.
Right.
And so he didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister. So when you look at it from that perspective, and we, again, yield to the Spirit of God, that's the most important thing, because we know it's the heart of God to reach the world.
Right.
So we submit to his Spirit. His Spirit's leading. We'll see these people as they are, a people in need. Now, when you look at it, you can bring it home, right? North Carolina. North Carolina has somewhere in the neighborhood of 900,000 Hispanics. You know, that's a big population when you look at the overall population of North Carolina. What, 8 million, 8.5 million people?
I think so, somewhere around in there.
Then you bring it home, right here in this tri-county area. You know, Watauga County, 2,000 registered, that is legal Hispanics. Avery County, over 1,000. Ashe County, over 1,500. That's 4,500 legal registered Hispanics in this tri-county area. Who's reaching them?
Right.
You know, they come from Mexico. They come from these other Central American countries, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Costa Rica, different places like this. They come here looking for a better life. And so they come, and 90% of the time, they live in what we would call maybe our low-rent districts, right? This is where American Joe lives. And so they're inundated with American Joe's life. American
right.
Joe is a lost man.
Yeah.
You know, he's drinking it up on the weekends. He's kicking his dog. He's cussing his wife. And they see this as the American way. So we have to reach them.
Right.
Because when they come here, statistically, they're leaving their home religion, which is Catholicism. 98% of them are Catholics.
Right.
But when they come here, you think about Catholicism, you think about the fact that it's work-related, right? And it's a works, quote-unquote, salvation. And it's also emotion, right? So then we talk about those two aspects. How are people reaching them? Well, Pentecostals are reaching them through emotionalism. Jehovah's Witnesses are reaching them through works, as a work salvation. And so because of that, we're under the gun now, because these folks are actually reaching them because they're relating to something that they know from Catholicism. It's embedded in them, if you will.
Right.
Latino, the Hispanic community, very emotional, passionate people, and as well as we all, you know, are emotional. Our Lord is a compassionate person, and so we know those emotions funneled through the Spirit of God, filtered through the Spirit of God, will bring the right result, which is caring for people, which is takes us full circle back to why we need to reach these folks.
Right.
You know, you think about the Tri-County area, that doesn't incorporate other folks like in Johnson County, Tennessee, who come and frequent the city or the town of Boone and impact the culture here, impact the economy here. Those are also folks who we can reach. You know, the success we have seen being in a country illegally, think about that just for a moment. We know that sin is sin, right? God puts no degree on sin. We know that the scars of sin run deeper than others, right?
Right.
So when we think about being here illegal, we don't want to talk about it from a bad perspective. We want to talk about it from the perspective of if we get the gospel to them, then God convicts them of that sin. God corrects that. It's not our job as preachers of the gospel to correct that. It's the Spirit of God's leading. We've seen this in churches, in ministries that we've begun where folks have come illegally.
Right.
Specifically, I think of two families. One, they came, they were unwed, they were living together. We know what the Bible teaches us about that. And the Spirit of God convicted their hearts after they were saved about just their living condition. And so they came to us. We counseled them and saw them married. God continued to work in their lives. They realized it's sin. God can't bless my life. So they went back to Mexico to start the process of coming here legally.
Right.
That's what the Spirit of God does. That's what the gospel does in a person's life. You think about it on a natural sense, it does not make sense for me to be here and nobody know it.
Right.
And me go back home.
Yeah.
But they go back as saved people. They take the gospel with them. We take about another family who had to leave here as well, went back, started the process. This man's been called of God to preach the Word of God. He's gone through a Bible college, and now he's starting a church right there in his home city, just across the border in Rio Grande City, Texas. And so we're going to help him with that work and getting it started. But again, it's the power of the gospel.
Right.
You know, we can look at it from an economic standpoint. They are impacting our economy. You know, the Spanish-speaking population has over $1 trillion of buying power in our country. I don't know if we realize that. We think about online sales and things of that nature. $21 billion they spend online. That's a lot of money going into our economy. You think about this. 25% of all births in America are Hispanic. One out of six households in America today are Hispanic. One in five mothers that you see in the population today, they're Hispanic.
Right.
So they're everywhere we are. We, again, just need to reach them. The population growth, we talked about this earlier, from 2007 to 2010, had it not been for the population growth of the Hispanics, our country as a whole in population would have declined.
Right.
We're a great country. We're the leading country. We're the best country in the world. But yet we would have seen a decline in population.
And I would think that would be almost unheard of for a country to decline in population, unless there was a war that was like World War II or something,
right,
where hundreds of thousands of people are dying. But just for a country to decline.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you use the right word, and I know where you're headed in the terminology and the context in which you meant it, but you mentioned war.
Yeah,
and there is a war in our country, and the war is really on the unborn. And I'm not a, you know, I don't want to harp on it, but the thing is, we're aborting more babies than we ever have before. And, you know, God has a purpose for each one of those babies. He gives life. He takes life. The Bible tells us that he knew us in our mother's womb.
Right.
And so there's no escaping that fact. But that's the war that is waged in America on human life. And so when you look at that versus, you know, the immigrants that are coming here, they're just not equaling out, you
right.
know. And so we would have a decline had it not been for that growth.
Oh, yeah. And you, I think I read something the other day, you know, when you think of Spanish, you think, well, these people are coming from Mexico. But there's a lot of countries that speak Spanish that are also coming to America. It's not just, you know, we have a missionary we support in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the college campuses, there's a lot of countries that or Spanish speaking that are also coming to America. So it's not just the ones that come from Mexico. Is that
right? And we utilize the data and the fact tanks from pewhispanic.com or pewhispanic.org, and it shows actually from 2007 there's been a decline in Mexican immigrants, but there has been an exceeding amount coming from those other Latin America countries,
right.
Central American countries, I should say. And so you're absolutely right there. You know, at one point in time, we would see anywhere from 800,000 Hispanics coming from Mexico versus, say, 60, 70,000 coming from these other countries. And now those numbers are being reversed.
Right.
And so you've got to ask yourself, you know, well, we go back to another hot button in today's political arena. Are our borders secure?
Right.
You know, because statistically we're starting to say, yes, they are secure, because we're looking at just one group of people in their migration, which would be coming from Mexico. But when we look at the other ones, Nicaragua, Belize, you know, Guatemala, those different, Honduras, those different places, you'll see quickly, very quickly, that the numbers haven't changed. The demographics of those numbers have.
Right. What I'd like to take just a minute and talk about practically, I'd like for you to sort of go through, okay, somebody's listening to the radio broadcast. They know a Spanish-speaking person. They'd like to reach them. What's the best way to go about that? And maybe they can't even make, you know, most of the time there's a little bit of communication, but not a lot. Where do you start with something like that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. As a Spanish-speaking person myself, I always start with the English language. And here's why I do that, because people know a certain amount of English. They've been here for any amount of time. For instance, we had a friend of ours that was already saved by the good grace of God, but he came to our country and didn't know any English. And so what he did was he sat and he watched cartoons, American cartoons, all day long for 8 hours a day, and he learned English. So everybody knows a little bit of English, right?
Right.
So I always confront them first in the English language. And then after a period of time, I can kind of gauge whether they do or do not, or how much they do or do not know. And then I speak to them in their native tongue. That always relieves them of the pressure because, you know, they see me coming, right, 6'4", 300 pound, knocking on their door. They're not quite sure what's fixing to take place. And so they want to know, why are you here?
Yeah.
And so once they find out, hey, I'm just here to give you the gospel, man, it just knocks out a whole big wall that's between them and us. And so we would start out that way. We carry a bilingual track, which, again, if folks contact your church, they can get them through your church. But we carry a bilingual track. That way, for anybody who does not speak the language, you can walk them through this track. And basically, it's just a Romans road.
Right.
And it helps them to understand that their sin has to be paid for and that Christ paid that penalty.
Right.
Right. And so I would suggest going through it that way. They can read their own language, and you can ask them if they understand or don't understand. You can explain it. You can take the Bible and explain it to them very specifically. And again, broken Spanish is better than no Spanish.
Right.
And so most of the time, a foreign language is easier to read than it is to speak. And so you can just walk them right along here and see both aspects.
Right.
So that would be my number one perspective, would be to get everybody that's concerned about reaching these people to just start by getting tracts in their hands.
Right.
And again, they can contact your church for this.
Right. Okay. So somebody that's interested in reaching somebody, maybe you go to the restaurant, and there's somebody, a waiter that you recognize and you see, and you're friendly, you know, and you'd like to do something, you're going to have do some preparation.
Yeah.
And have a gospel track that's at least bilingual. Mm-hmm. And so it's like anything else, you got to go prepared.
Yes, sir. And on the back of these tracks, they have our name and our phone number on them.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's not like they can pick up. They're not going to pick up the phone and call your church, right?
Right.
But they can pick up the phone and call someone who can speak to them in their language and help them with that understanding. So yeah, you know, go pass them out, walk them through it if the Lord leads, and see what God does with it.
Right. And I'll say, if somebody's listening, if you would like some of these bilingual tracks, you get in touch with us, we'll get you some and get you where you can at least have something to give somebody. And there's and this has changed so much. You would never have seen this when I was growing up in the 70s, in the 80s. But you go to town, you go to Boone, you go to Hickory, you go to Johnson City, Bristol. When I went to Idaho as a missionary, first time I went to Walmart on a Saturday, I came back and I told my wife, I said, I don't know if we come to Idaho or Mexico. And there was Spanish people everywhere. So it's not like anybody listening that this wouldn't apply to.
Exactly.
If you're concerned about getting the gospel out. I think we got about 3 minutes left. But and I've never tried to do that. Mm-hmm. I've tried to talk to people, which my wife says I can barely speak English, so I have a hard time relating to somebody as far as one-on-one,
right.
One-on-one. But do you think that most Spanish that, how long does it take somebody to pick up enough to just communicate, you know, food? You said the guy watched cartoons 8 hours a day for how long?
You know? That I'm not certain of, you know.
Yeah.
It depends on the individual's capacity, obviously, right? But as far as reading, you know, the alphabet, it's phonetically based alphabet and language, and so it's not an issue to pick up those sounds.
Right.
And again, in language school, the first week, I was singing in Spanish.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can read it, you can say it.
Right.
And they're going to understand what you're saying. Just like when someone comes to us with broken English, we still understand what they're saying.
Right.
And it's funny, if you think about it, you'll find ourselves most of the time when someone speaks to us with broken English, we always speak back to them in broken English for some reason. I don't know why we're wired that way, but it doesn't make sense for somebody that's trying to learn the language. So if we're speaking to them in broken Spanish, they're going to speak back to us,
right,
and help communicate with us. They're a precious people.
Yeah.
They're not out to, and of course, you got a bad person in every people group, but they're not out to hurt us. What they're out to do is they're out to make a better life. You tell me one American that does not want to do that. Now, obviously, statistically, we find people that don't, but that's every culture. But 90% of us want a better life.
Yeah.
And if we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we've already got that better life.
Right. Amen.
They need that.
Can you give us maybe a John 3:16 in Spanish?
I'll tell you what I'll do.
Okay.
I'll give you the gospel in a nutshell. How about that?
We've got 45 seconds.
La Biblia dice esto. Hay solamente un camino al cielo. Este camino es Jesucristo. No hay otro. No hay iglesia salvo. No hay religión salvo. No hay familia salvo. No hay tradición salvo. Solamente Jesucristo y la sangre de Él. La Biblia dice en el libro de Romanos, no hay justo ni hay uno. Y tú también. Tú necesitas a Cristo a su Salvador. No hay otro camino al cielo separado esto. Okay?
Amen.
And so basically, here's the deal. A church doesn't save. Family doesn't save. Tradition doesn't save. Only the blood of Christ saves. The Bible tells us in Romans that there's none righteous, no, not one. And that means us, and we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ.
I enjoyed that. That's a blessing. All right, we appreciate you listening in. Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596, or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.